Do you sometimes feel as though you're living your life in a straitjacket?
No matter how it feels, it could be worse on...
People Are Funny!
Yes, transcribed from Hollywood, John Goodell's production of People Are Funny, repeating the best shows of the past season. And now, here's radio's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter.
Hello there. And there is no doubt about it. People are funny, and they're getting funnier every year. Just the other day, a woman in Denver, Colorado, testified in court that her husband telephoned her one evening in 1938 to say he'd be a little late for dinner. He's not there yet. Well, she shouldn't be surprised. He's one of those guys who obviously likes his lamb chops well done. But we can prove that people are funnier than they are in Denver, and we'll do that right here in Hollywood tonight with our first guest. And who is it, Roy?
Mr. Clement Dezette from New Orleans, Louisiana. Meet Art Linkletter.
How do you do, Clement? Dezette, did he say?
Yes.
How do you spell that?
D-A-Z-E-T.
That's a French name.
Yes.
Which is not out of the ordinary in New Orleans?
No, it isn't.
How am I pronouncing that?
You're doing pretty good, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. You married man, Clement?
Yes.
Are you happy to be with us on the show?
Very much, sir.
Those are famous last words on this program. I often wonder what gets people to volunteer. Now, did you volunteer because you wanted to see what would happen to you, or did you want to win a prize, or just adventure?
We'll see what happened, I guess.
Yeah. Are you insured, by the way?
Oh, I have a little bit, yes.
You are married?
Yes.
Did your wife get your wife's permission?
Yes.
Your mother-in-law?
Oh, she's quite a few miles away.
Any children?
Yes, one little girl.
We'll have to think of her. One of the reasons that I was asking you all this is I want to know if you are the type of person who can think fast in an emergency. What kind of business are you in?
Well, I'm an engineer.
Have you ever had any fast emergency to get your way, talk your way out of, or think your way out of?
Well, I wrecked a plane one time while I was a cadet in training, and I went for a review board, and I thought I had to try to talk a little there to get out of it.
You did get out of it?
Yes.
Well, that sounds pretty good. And I'm glad that we got a man who can get himself out of court martials and review boards and fixes, because we got a pretty good fix for you tonight, a kind of a tight one. I'll show you what I mean. Boys, would you bring out the straitjacket? Now, if you just take off your suit coat here, Mr. Clement Dezette, we will put on this straitjacket. It's a real police straitjacket, just the kind they put on people who begin to get a little violent. Has very, very long arms. We wrap them around behind you, and they're all going to be strapped and tied and fixed so that your arms folded around you will be kept there in this restrainer. Now, Mr. Dezette, you never had one of these on before, have you?
No, I don't believe so.
Never been that violent, huh?
No.
Well, now, this is the idea. Is it comfortable?
Not very.
You would like to get out of it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's very interesting, because, you see, we know how to put you in it, but we don't know how to get you out of it. That's going to be your job for the evening. People who are put in straitjackets are people who are in one trouble or another, am I right?
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, well, now, tonight, you're going to leave and be driven out to a strange neighborhood. You're going to have to go up to some stranger's door, ring the bell, and ask for help. Now, wait a minute. Something occurred to me. How are you going to ring the doorbell with your arms in the straitjacket?
That'd be pretty hard to do. I don't think I could.
I got a suggestion.
What's that?
Your nose. You can just push the doorbell with your nose, and if that's hard to do, why knock on the door with your head? Anyhow, Mr. Dezette, the boys will finish getting you up outside. You get good and tight there. I want him trussed up good and tight, John, because we want to know how people living a normal, average life in a home are going to react when a man in a straitjacket comes up, rings the bell, and asks to be helped out of it. What are you going to say?
Well, I'll ask him to get me out of this thing.
Yeah, but that's kind of dull. You'll have to have a reason.
Well, I just got out of jail. I had to get out of this thing.
Oh, boy, there's a great story. In other words, you're going to try to convince them that they should get you out of it so you can knock them over the head and rob them.
Well, like I said, I had a spare straitjacket laying around. I thought I'd try it on, and I got stuck, and I couldn't get loose.
That's a good story. Everybody has straitjackets lying around. I don't care what you do, Mr. Dezette, but be sure that you invent a good story, because you're going to be out among strangers, and they're going to be mighty suspicious. And if you come back with the straitjacket off, taken off by some stranger with no help from anybody except your own imagination and quick tongue, we're going to give you a beautiful air conditioner, which will come in mighty handy in New Orleans. Am I right?
New Orleans, yes.
All right, Irv Atkins, you drive him out to a nearby neighborhood, let him out of the car. He picks his own houses. Say goodbye to Houdini, audience. That'll be very interesting, huh? Who's next, Roy?
Mr. and Mrs. Harvey Schwartz from El Monte, California. Meet Art Linkletter.
Hello, folks. Mrs. Schwartz, Josephine, I see, and Harvey. You said before we went on the air that you thought that your wife could be more efficient in her housework, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
What impelled you to have that opinion?
Well, because women waste too much time around the house every day, talking to their girlfriends and not doing their work, and doing their laundry at the wrong time of the day, things like that.
You just don't think they're efficient. They don't plan their work well enough.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think most husbands kind of have a sneaking hunch in that same direction. Would you agree?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Uh-huh.
You ever at home to watch?
Oh, yes. Being a salesman, I don't work all the time. Uh-huh. And, maybe I shouldn't have said that here, huh?
That's all right. We can get you another job somewhere. And, so you have a chance to observe your wife, uh-huh. Where would you judge from your 3 years of married life to this pretty petite little brunette? Does she fall down in planning? In what particular department? The dishes, or the laundry, or what?
Well, the dishes, the laundry, general house cleaning.
Is it because she doesn't plan it, or what?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Talking too much, you know, to her girlfriends, or doing the sewing at the wrong time, something like that.
Now, if you were an efficiency expert, let's pinpoint this down. If you were an efficiency expert and you were going to give your wife a score on efficiency in planning and executing her housework on a day-to-day basis from a score of 0 to 100, how many points would you give her?
Oh, about 40.
Mrs. Schwartz, I'm going to give the defense a chance to talk. What rating would you give yourself?
75%.
75, uh-huh. Would you be willing, Mr. Schwartz, to let us send a man out to watch her at work?
Yes.
And Mrs. Schwartz, would it be okay with you?
Yes, sir.
We send a man out to watch you all day long at work.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Schwartz, as a husband, do you think you could do any of these tasks more efficiently than your wife does?
Why, sure. I could do everything more efficiently in less time. The washing could be done at the right time of the day, and the dishes could be done when they should. Uh-huh. No trouble at all.
I think there's a small vigilante mob of women forming under the balcony back there. They'll probably have you on a cross before the night is over. But I'll tell you what we're going to do that'll be more interesting, so ladies, don't growl. We are going to have an efficiency expert from a big company here in Southern California run a test on your wife all day Friday from morning till night with charts and graphs. And then on Saturday, we're going to check you, Mr. Schwartz. You're going to be home all day, and you're going to do all the work. Now, what do you think your rating's going to be from 0 to 100?
About 100%.
How does this stunt appeal to you, Josephine?
It took me fine.
Yeah.
Not tonight, Josephine. That's Friday and Saturday. Now, Friday, Dr. Vernon Keeler from Keeler & Associates in Beverly Hills will come out to your home and be there to check on you, Mrs. Schwartz. And Saturday, he'll check on you, Mr. Schwartz. And we'll see you both back here next Tuesday for the final report. And get this, the one of you who comes back with the best marks, according to our expert, will get a $250 spring outfit, clothes from top to bottom, of your own choice. How do you like that?
It sounds real good.
Yeah, and if nothing else, at least you'll have one day's work done by your husband.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Goodbye. Oh, boy. Who's next, Roy?
Miss Amy Lee Menon from San Angelo, Texas, and Mr. Leonard Sampson from Los Angeles, but he's still off stage, Art.
How do you do, Miss Menon?
How do you do, Mr. Linkletter?
What's your first name?
Amy Lee.
Amy Lee Menon.
Yes, sir.
And you're from where?
San Angelo, Texas.
You have a nice southern accent.
Yes.
Were you born in Texas?
Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm. You're a girl about 21?
Yes, sir.
About. What do you do for a living, Amy Lee?
Well, I'm a secretary right now.
And this fellow who came up with you, we were sitting down there, Mr. Leonard Sampson, who's not here now.
Uh-huh.
What does he do for a living?
Well, he's a lawyer. He's going to be a lawyer. He's in school right now.
Which school?
In Loyola.
And you are going around with him, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Now, you see, that's why we picked the two of you out of the audience. You're going around with each other, but you're not engaged.
No.
Uh-huh. We heard from one of our spies that you are a popular girl and date a number of other fellows. Do you date anybody else?
Oh, yes, sir.
You do, huh?
Uh-huh.
He'd like you to go steady?
Yes.
Uh-huh, but you, still looking around a little. Do you like him better than the rest?
Oh, well, I can't make up my mind, really.
Uh-huh. Has he asked you to marry him?
Yes.
He has?
Sort of.
Sort of, huh? What'd he say?
Well.
Anyway, you have no complaints about him?
No, can't think of any.
Uh-huh, now, one of the reasons we rigged this whole stunt up tonight was to try to get him to make promises that you would never get him to make after you're married.
Oh.
Now, listen, here we go. Where am I? Ever since Adam and Eve, one of women's chief weapons has been rivalry and competition. Now, you probably use this yourself, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
We're going to show you how to use it without even having another fellow around. And watch what's going to happen with a little imaginary competition. We're going to pretend one of your other boyfriends has been brought here tonight and watch how the plot unfolds. You stay right here. Boys, go out to the dressing room and bring in Mr. Leonard Sampson. Now, remember, Amy Lee, we'll pretend your other suitor is here, but off stage. All right? Na-dee-dee-dee. And you did move here from the from Texas, did you?
Yes.
And you have done some secretary work. How do you do, Mr. Sampson?
How do you do, sir?
I was just talking to Miss Amy Lee. You know her, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
Mr. Leonard Sampson?
That's right, sir.
How old a man are you, Leonard?
24.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any idea why you volunteered to be on the show tonight?
Sir, I didn't volunteer. I was dragged into this.
You mean she did all the volunteering?
For both of us.
And she had the tickets for the show and all.
That she did.
I might as well let you in on the dirty trick right now, Mr. Sampson. You have been double-crossed. We invited not only Amy Lee down here tonight, and not only you, but coming here separately to the studio was another one of her fellas.
Oh, no.
Do you have any idea who the other guy could be?
I'm not sure, but I have an idea.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you the same questions that I asked him. Actually, he was out here a moment or two ago. What is your favorite sport or hobby or recreation?
Oh, I like to play tennis, baseball, bowling. Mm-hmm.
And what do you think of Amy Lee as a dancer?
Except jitterbugging, she's terrific.
Uh-huh. Very interesting, isn't it, the comment there? You think she's romantic?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, he did, too. Leonard, is it true that you want Amy Lee to marry you?
I would like her to, yes.
Well, I don't blame you. She's a very pretty gal. And we're going to see if you'll be willing to go along with this little test, what kind of a husband you'd make. I'm going to ask you some questions. And would you be willing? I'm going to ask both you and your rival the same questions, okay?
Sure.
All right. Now, I figured if I asked the same questions of each of you, Amy Lou would be able to make up her mind which one she prefers. Now, you won't prejudice each other, so we're going to keep him off in a dressing room. We're going to send you to a dressing room. And you'll have microphones there, and you'll be able to talk to me, but you won't hear each other. So you'll be fair, all right?
Okay.
It's a fair shake. I told him the same thing. All right, take Mr. Sampson out to his dressing room, and I love this, because it's such a bunch of lies. Isn't that terrific? We got this poor guy now. Looks like fun, doesn't it, Amy Lee?
Yes, it certainly does.
Now, Amy Lee, you notice how his ears kind of stood up when I mentioned the other guy?
Uh-huh.
I can see you've been playing him just right so far. But I'll show you how to play him even better. Is he in the room yet, John? All right. And Mr. Esman, our engineer, Harry, would you switch on Mr. Leonard's microphone? Mr. Sampson's microphone? Leonard, can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can, sir.
Fine. Now, I would like to ask you the first question here, and Amy Lee is listening. Where would you take Amy Lee on a honeymoon after you got married? What place do you have in mind that would be a nice honeymoon trip?
Oh, I'd probably take her down to Balboa, someplace close at hand.
Mm-hmm. Resort sort of place?
Yeah, sorry, uh-huh.
Fine, I'll be back to you in a minute. Cut him off, will you, Harry? How about that, Amy Lee, Balboa?
I'd like to go to Honolulu.
Well, the show's over. Just happened to be going there myself. All right, you watch what happens. Turn his microphone on. Leonard?
Yes, sir.
Your rival, we just asked him, said that he'd take his wife to Honolulu on a honeymoon.
Well...
Would you like to make another offer of any kind?
Well,
before we close this question?
I can't afford to take her to Honolulu, but maybe I could take her to Las Vegas.
All right. Well, now here's another question. You still there, Leonard?
Yes, Mr. Linkletter.
How many children do you think would be an ideal size family?
Oh, I'd say about two, I guess.
Two? All right. Harry, cut his microphone off. Amy Lee, we've already gotten him from Balboa to Las Vegas. Now let's see what else we can do. How is two is for a size family?
No, I think three or four would be better.
Do the best I can. Turn the microphone back on. Mr. Sampson?
Yes, Art.
Your rival seems to think that four children is best. That's... Now, I'm just telling you and he both, I'm giving you both a little idea. What do you think about that?
Well, I think I'd rather leave that up to Amy Lee.
Thank you very much. Cut him off, Harry. There's a man who recognizes the factual biological necessities of life.
That was very sweet of him.
That was real sweet, wasn't it?
It certainly was sweet of him.
He's going to leave it up to you.
Yeah, thank you.
So if you marry him, you'll have three or four at least. All right, now we've got him. We've doubled his family and increased the distance to Las Vegas. Switch on the rehearsal room, engineer. Leonard?
Yes, sir.
In pursuing this question about a family, do you think the father should fix the formula and feed the baby at night?
Oh. Once in a while.
Once in a while. All right, engineer. Cut him off. How about that, Amy Lee? He's willing to fix the baby once in a while.
No, I think he ought to do it about half the time.
All right. Turn the microphone on, Harry. Leonard?
Yes.
The other guy said he'd do it half the time. What do you say?
Well, I'll do it as often as she asks me to.
Cut him off. Amy Lee? Right at this point in the stunt, I might add something that'll make you real happy. We're recording all this, and we're going to give you the record. And you know what he just said? He'll do it as often as you ask him, the diapering and the formula and everything. All right. How often will you ask him?
Oh, I think every night would be enough.
Okay. Now, Amy Lee, which would you rather have, a washing machine or a fur coat?
Oh, a fur coat.
Well, let's go to work on it. Cut Leonard in. Leonard?
Yes, sir?
You're going to be saving up some money. Do you have any money saved up, by the way?
I haven't got a dime.
Well, you better start saving. And if you're going to save up, you want to be thinking of your wife. And would you rather save up money for a fur coat or a washing machine?
Oh, I think I'd give her a washing machine.
Well, Leonard, I just had this conversation with your friend in the other dressing room, and he said a fur coat.
I don't care what he said. I think a washing machine would make it a lot easier on her in raising our kids.
Cut him off. Boy, there was a lot of applause by husbands here then. Sounds like a pretty good guy, Amy Lee.
Well, he has got something, though.
Yeah. Now, this is very important about the money. We're on this now. I'm glad to see it. About how much money do you think you should get from your husband a week for household accounts, one thing or another?
Oh, I think $30 a week would be
$30. That's $120. This is over and above and beyond the rent and stuff like this. This is for your expenses, little things, not your clothes or things like that.
No.
All right. I'll try to get you more. Engineer, turn on Leonard. Leonard?
Yes, sir?
I've just been talking to your rival here. We were talking about household expenses. He thought that his wife should get $35 a week for household expenses. How do you feel?
I'll give her $35.
All right, shut him off, engineer. We got you $5, huh?
Yes, thank you.
Don't give up. I can do better. Turn him back on. Leonard?
Yes?
I just gave your rival the same chance. He raised it to $40 a week.
Well, I'll give her $41, and that's it.
Cut him off. Well, we got you $11 a week. This guy's pretty sharp. I better not try to get him up any higher. I tell you what, we'll send him in now and give him the news. Now, he's made some promises to you, Amy Lee. And if he ever breaks any of them, if you marry this fellow, you can play that record.
I will.
All right. Leonard, I have good news for you, boy. You have won out over your rival in this thing. In fact, you showed up so well, didn't he?
Yes.
That we're not even going to bring him out because it'd be embarrassing. And we wouldn't have brought you back if he'd have won.
I want to see him.
All right, you'll meet him right backstage. We have for you, sir, for coming down tonight, Mr. Sampson, washer, completely automatic, that makes clothes sunshine fresh and sunshine bright. And for you, Amy Lee, we have a home dryer that gives clothes sunshine freshness and enables you to throw away your clothesline. Leonard, you have the washer. Amy Lee, you have the dryer. I now pronounce you wash and dry. The rival, if he's listening in the dressing room, gets $20,000 in cash. Goodbye. You know, at the beginning of the program, we sent a man in a straitjacket to a strange neighborhood to find out whether or not people who lived in houses and being confronted by a man on a porch in a straitjacket would help him out of his fix. Would they call the police? What would they do? Well, let's find out. This is a rather unusual experiment. Oh, he's out of his straitjacket. Mr. Dezette. Mr. Dezette from New Orleans.
New Orleans, that's correct.
Well, I see you're out of your straitjacket, so I don't have to ask you whether or not you were successful, but let's get into some of the details. Did you try before, did it work the very first place?
No, it didn't.
First place, what happened?
Well, no one answered.
Oh, you rang the doorbell with your nose.
No, I didn't.
What'd you do, kick the door?
No, I pressed against the bell and it rang.
Oh, you just leaned against it.
Yes.
In the next place, what happened?
Well, some guy just looked out the door and slammed it.
He was scared.
Yeah.
He saw a guy in a straitjacket and he ran. All right, the next house, what happened?
Well, he listened a little while and he said, go away, I don't want nothing to do with it.
Well, what did you tell him?
Well, he just slammed the door then.
And did you give him any excuse as to why you were in a straitjacket?
Well, I told him that I was going to USC and I was being initiated into fraternity. But he didn't believe it.
That's a pretty cute idea. Uh-huh. He didn't believe it. Shut the door.
Yes.
And then where'd you go?
Well, I went to this other gentleman's house, and he opened the door, and he listened to it, and he believed my story, and he took it off.
You think you look like a USC student?
Well, I imagine I might be a little old.
Yes, I would say so. And Mr. Dezette?
Yes.
You lost your straitjacket, and you get for your home what I told you you'd get for the summer down there in New Orleans, a beautiful year-round room air conditioner with twin comfort and control. Thanks to both of you, for People Are Funny. Good night.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.